What's up, guys? Lou here in the new podcast setup. I'm here with Will Dew. He's going to be the co-host
Hello.
Of this deal right here. And the way it's going to work, it's just sort of a test, a beta version of where we're going to end up. This will eventually be live. You're not watching me live right now because we're just trying to get the setup together in such a way that we can get good recordings that we're happy with. So this is just the early stages, and then eventually we will be broadcasting this live as well as recording it for upload at a later date. But right now we're just sort of landing on the technical details. We've got a couple different cameras set up, and we've got Kirk working the boards. He's making the camera switches. That's about all I guess I'm going to say about that. Do you have anything to say to get us started, Will Do?
Nothing much. I'm Will.
Oh, yeah. You are. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, that's sort of who I am. Mm-hmm. People address me as that name.
Right. You can look in this camera right here and speak directly to the people who haven't met you yet or that just met you.
I mean, there's not really much to say. I'm a web designer.
No, there is. There is. Tell them, you know, you made the shirts.
I did make the shirts.
Unboxtherapy.com, official gear. He's the man.
Yeah, right? I took care of the shipments, I guess.
The stickers that are on the back of your system there?
There you go.
Yeah. So you did a lot, man. You're killing it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sort of like an extended arm of Unbox Therapy. Something like that.
An extended arm. Yeah. Like full extension.
Yeah, I'm not like your right-hand man or anything. But
an extended arm.
Something like that.
What's the opposite of an extended arm?
A shortened arm, I guess, that doesn't really help out. I don't know.
All right, so the way this is going to work, guys, we're not going to just bullshit here for an hour or anything like that. You guys would get really angry, and I'm sure you'd let me know about it down in the comments. Instead, what we're going to do is Will is going to present some topics, things that have happened over the course of the week that we think are interesting, or he thinks is interesting or are interesting. Anyways, he's going to present some stuff, and then I'm going to react, give you guys my feedback on some of the topics that he presents, assuming that I have some feedback. Who knows? He might present me with some shit that I have no idea about,
and yeah.
I'll just be like, that's a little bit weird, man. I think we should...
Quantum theory.
That's the perfect time to move on to the next topic. So, but anyways, yeah, so that's the way it's going to roll, and as I said before, guys, go easy. This is a trial and error kind of situation, so we're going to test it out, and this thing's going to evolve and develop and eventually become entertaining.
Yeah, and we're always happy to get some feedback from people, you know.
That's right. As long as, you know, it's relatively tame and you don't say anything too nasty, then, you know, hey, it's good to read. All right, Will, so let's go ahead. Let's get rolling on this thing. Let's see what you got. I hope you brought the heat today. You said you were going to bring the heat, but then you got a little bit sick.
I am sick, so if I start wheezing and coughing, I do apologize.
Deal with it. Deal with it, folks. All right, what do you got for me?
Well, I guess the first topic is an obvious one. Why this podcast? Why are we doing
this? Right. Yes, I remember
what's the whole point?
I remember this from our last live stream when we just started.
Yeah.
Started the idea of this, and I never answered this question because I wanted to save it for the first recording.
Right.
I've been toying around with the idea for a while. I had wanted to do one. Of course, I wanted to do it correctly, and the barrier to entry in terms of equipment is pretty huge, right? You know, you have to buy a bunch of stuff to get started, at least if you want to do it in this way here, right, where you want to have multiple cameras, you want to have an HDMI switcher and all that kind of stuff. But recently I started getting, you know, really into listening to podcasts. I'm spending a little bit more time in my car. So I've been doing a lot of audio podcast listening, and I guess I just got the bug where I was like, you know, we do all kinds of work on the Unbox Therapy channel where we get access to all kinds of different material, consumer electronics, so on and so forth. You already know that, Will Do. And so, you know, there's some insight that could be shared. And maybe in this more conversational atmosphere, is that a word, conversational?
Yeah.
Atmosphere, maybe we could address some stuff that is tougher to address in those sort of 3-minute clips that people normally see me in regular Unbox Therapy videos. So the objective here is to, get a little bit more intimate and, you know,
intimate and interactive.
I was about to say the exact same thing, but nobody knows about that because that was a Much Music thing. That's some,
yeah, I know.
That's a weird Canadian thing for you guys.
It's definitely an homage to them.
Yeah. If you didn't grow up here, you didn't have Much Music, you only had MTV. And so you probably don't know what the hell he's talking about. But they used to do an interview series called Intimate and Interactive. And the concept there was that it was an intimate, small-scale interview, but it was interactive in the sense that there was a live audience that could also ask questions to big stars and shit like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I think it was like dim lighting and shit too. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, they really got that atmosphere going where it's just like a real conversation.
That's right. That was the goal. You know, maybe, and that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're going to call it, in fact. We're going to revive that name. This is called Intimate and Interactive.
Yeah. Essentially, that could have been a podcast.
It could have been. It was a podcast before podcasts.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but who the hell watches music television now in any form? Or cable TV, for that matter?
Yeah, that's...
I'm not one of those people anymore.
You grew up with television, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I grew up with it. Actually, to be honest with you, I did not have cable TV for the first few years of my life. I think, if I recall correctly, that I got cable TV probably in grade 5. That before that, we didn't watch very much TV at all. My parents just weren't interested in it or didn't want to pay for it. I don't know. One of those two things.
Not even for news?
Well, news you can get on local television. We had the rabbit ears.
Oh, okay.
Like, we had the three channels or whatever you get from the antenna.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't even watch any of that because obviously that's pretty boring. Me and my brother were talking about this the other day. How growing up, we had like a few VHS tapes and beta tapes before that. How we just watched that shit over and over again. I mean, kids nowadays are spoiled as hell. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they got iPads and Netflix, and they don't watch anything they don't want to watch. They have tons of selection. But for us, I mean, there's 1 year between the two of us, for those of you that are wondering.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, you know, kids coming up in the 90s, I guess, more or less, or even before that, late 80s. /90s type thing. We didn't have any of that shit. We were, like I said, I was lucky to have, you know, the original Batman on VHS. I'm pretty sure my brother and I memorized that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But you had a different appreciation for it too, because you had that limited selection. So if you got a new VHS or some shit,
you treasure it.
You were happy about that. Now it's like, I don't know, you can't impress a kid now. It's like, oh, you got this new thing. It's like, oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It can't be as cool anymore, but hey, that's progress, right? Everybody gets nostalgic about the way that things were. But if I was a kid coming up now, I don't know what would happen. It would probably be an overload, you know?
That'd be really I'd be curious to see. I mean, you're like technology guy now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was then too. I always wanted the latest shit, you know. Mm. That's been that way for a long time. You know, it just, the latest shit back then wasn't what it is now. I'll never forget my first laptop I got. I mean, you probably remember too, your first laptop or computer for that matter. I mean, I remember both, but the laptop more specifically because it was actually, for me, it was actually mine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a family computer in the same way. Mm-hmm. And my parents got it for me for Christmas. It was a Sony Vaio. And this was like one of the first few years that Sony Vaio was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this baby, I think it had a 14-inch screen, but it weighed like 10 pounds.
Right.
Like, I'm not even exaggerating, like close to 10 pounds. And the battery life was like, you know, 20 minutes or mm-hmm. 30 minutes, something like that. And that's out of the gate when you first buy it. I think it was a Pentium 4 desktop chip. This was before they had mobile chips. They just took desktop chips and they put them inside of friggin', you know, computers or laptops, notebooks, because they didn't, I guess Intel wasn't on their game yet. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I got that thing, and you know, for a short period of time there, I was pretty sure that things couldn't get any cooler than that. You know, I installed Mega Race, I installed Wacky Racing. It was like a cheesy PC version of Mario Kart. Wacky Races? Somebody that's watching this is going to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it was a DOS game. It was funny because, I mean, back then you couldn't pirate anything, or, you know, games would cost you $50 or $60.
Internet connection was
optional.
No, I was just gonna say it was like super slow.
Yeah, if you had it was super slow, but not everybody even had it at one time. And so your way to get games was to, you know, I guess we shared games. I don't even remember, man. I guess I'm not even gonna lie. I don't even remember how we used to get games, but what I do remember is that even when I got a new system that was running Windows, maybe Windows 95, a lot of my games were still in DOS, and so that meant that I had to go back out of Windows into the DOS prompt. Did you ever have to do any of this stuff?
With the run command or something?
Yeah,
you
had to do a little... Yeah, exactly. DIR backslash.
Yeah.
Look for the executable file. I don't even know if it was if it was .exe at that time. But you look for the executable file, and you run the thing right from DOS. You run the game right from DOS.
Exactly, yeah.
So a lot of my games, even when I got newer platforms, a lot of my games were still in DOS. So you had to go out. Even... Damn. I'm going back now. I'm triggering all these memories. Even, I think, some of the latest games, some of the hottest games, still required you to go out to DOS to launch them. Because I'm recalling now a hot game back in the day called Wing Commander, which was like, when it came out, as far as I remember it, of course I was a kid, so someone's going to dispute me, but that shit had, you know, great graphics. So did this other Star Wars game that I had. Star Wars... No, not X-Wing. Before that.
Dark Forces?
Something like that.
Did you used to fly a ship?
There might have been some flying in there. But no, it was... Most of it was first... It was first person. It was a first person game. Like, think of like Doom or whatever. My brother would remember the name. Star Wars... I don't remember. It was one of those LucasArts... It was a LucasArts game. And... going deep into that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, real deep, man. And Myst? Did you ever fuck with Myst?
No, I didn't.
Really? Kirk, you ever fuck with Myst? That was when Myst hit. That's when I knew that this shit was going to be a big deal. Computer games, PC games, or gaming in general. I remember my dad, a grown man, was like just enthralled with this game. You know, and Myst, I don't even know what we ended up doing with it. Can you even beat it? I guess you can beat it. We didn't. Because, you know, at some point, you're solving these little puzzles and all the rest of it. But I remember, I mean, it's hard to replicate those kinds of feelings nowadays because obviously we're all desensitized and shit. But I remember the idea of sort of, that giving me the idea of what an open world game might be more like. I mean, you had the ability finally to walk around. You were less sort of confined a little bit. I don't know. It felt that way to me.
Yeah.
But going back, I don't even remember exactly what the gameplay was, but you're on this island, and I remember feeling like you could move around in sort of a more natural way. But anyways, yeah, how did I get on this topic? What the hell happened? What did you ask me?
We were talking about how this podcast, how we're starting it.
Right. So we're just going off about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I answered that or not, but... We got onto something else, but I think I answered that.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, basically, guys, I've wanted to do this for a while. I think, you know, some people might enjoy it. Maybe one or two people will enjoy it, but hey, whatever. That's somebody. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there, if you're one of those two people, this is for you, okay? And it's going to be interactive. Like we said earlier, the idea here is that you guys can ask questions, and we're going to be doing it live with a chat eventually. So, yeah, that's the interactive aspect. And, you know, we have there's a pretty big community on Unbox Therapy, right? And I think it's sort of a natural progression type thing to get to this level of conversation. I think it's valuable. Valuable thing and a good kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking anything away from Unbox Therapy. I mean, that shit's going to keep rolling along, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew from, like, a long time ago you've always wanted to do a podcast.
Right.
Like, ever since I met you, you seem like...
I've been saying that since you
met
me?
Well, you seem like the podcast type, you know. Like
oh, just yeah. No, I listen to it. Yeah, I know.
I know.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess...
You got something else for me? We can cap that there. I think we did a good job of sort of... I mean, I didn't say anything too inspiring or anything like that. I mean, we're just talking. We're just two fucking dudes. I mean... You got a Coors Light. I got a Fax Premium. Is that the right way to pronounce that?
I think so.
Anyway, this is from Denmark. This is from Denmark. Established 1901. What's up, Denmark? Anybody out there from Denmark? Let me know in the comments. Do you think there's anyone from Denmark? There's got to be somebody.
I'm pretty sure there is.
There's somebody from Denmark.
People watch you all over the world.
There's
got
to be somebody from Denmark.
Yeah.
You got anything else for me, Will? Is that all you brought today?
Well, I mean, these are pretty in depth.
That's okay, whatever. Let's see what it is.
All right. So, future of transportation.
Jesus. That's a big. Wait a minute. Are it's you going to get more broad. Specific, or is that the whole? That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Holy shit. You're asking me how I perceive the future of transportation being?
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, it's sort of changed. You know, we've always kind of thought of flying cars. Not to say that it might eventually get there at some point in the future.
Right.
But, I mean, just thinking about it, it's so wild.
Flying cars.
Yeah.
Keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Why? Okay, since you've done some thinking on this, why do you think it is that people haven't gravitated towards that technology? Because my understanding, I haven't done a ton of research on this, but my understanding is that that tech has been around. I remember seeing pictures of cars in the 1950s that could fly or some shit or had.
Right, right.
I don't know. Was that a thing, or were those just like, you know, some kind of promotional items, or was that actually a thing?
I really don't.
No, know. Neither do I.
Like, it's...
As you can see, we're very qualified for this conversation. I don't know, air traffic? Maybe this... I mean, people get into accidents on regular roads. Exactly. Maybe if they get up in the sky, I mean, I can see that being a disaster.
It's not like I don't believe it, but like...
You know what you're going to... Okay, that's obviously like, you know, way out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's like a way out there kind of thing that it's like, wow, that would be cool. But... There are things that are pretty cool in the short term too that are much more achievable, like the self-driving stuff.
Exactly.
I was reading about the new low-end Mercedes, affordable Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $30,000 or whatever. I can't even remember the name right now. Anyway, this is the one they're promoting right now. It's coming out very shortly, but it has a feature where, and this is not exclusive to this vehicle. It's a lot of vehicles have features like this where. You turn on the cruise control, and it will adjust the speed based on the distance between you and the next car that's in your way.
Mm-hmm.
So, say you're on the highway, and you're driving along, and you start to creep up on the car in front of you, it'll back down the speed so that you don't obviously go into them, or you don't have to adjust
right.
yourself, so you can actually relax. And so, yeah, I mean, that's obviously super low-tech. Comparative to the stuff that Google's working on with the self-driving cars. I also read something about Uber, you know, the high-tech cab sort of limo company.
Yeah.
I don't know if you haven't used it before, have you?
No, but it's based in New York, I believe.
Well, no, they're everywhere. I think they started in Silicon Valley, you know, between San Francisco and Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. They launched in New York shortly after Washington D.C. They're here in Toronto. They're in a number of places. I used an Uber. I don't even know if you're supposed to call it a taxi or a limo, whatever. I used an Uber car last time I was in New York, and it was like insanely easy. Got off the plane, went to the pickup drop off area, just opened the app, automatically located me, picked me up, like super smooth. But apparently, they bought a bunch of self driving cars, like a fleet. Like maybe like 80 or something. I don't know. It might not have been as many as 80. Don't quote me on that. But they bought a bunch of self-driving cars. So now people are interested. What are they doing? Just testing, or how do mm-hmm. they envision this happening? I don't even know if these things are legal yet, but definitely like in our lifetime, I think. I think.
Would you get on one? Like a self-driving car right now?
You know, I think a lot of people are going to say that they wouldn't trust it. But the funny thing is, why do you trust people? You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, this is maybe like a huge theoretical conversation, but is that right? Theoretical, philosophical, whatever.
Hmm.
I mean, we trust people. I mean, sometimes that's crazy to me. Like, you know, just watching the workings of an urban area for that matter. Like, why is everyone not killing each other right now? Like, how is this working? Mm-hmm. How is everybody maintaining their calm? How in rush hour, I'm going up the DVP, going home. And everybody is starting and stopping and starting and stopping. It's like, of course somebody's going to fuck up. Of course. It's right. inevitable. I mean, and you get to see it when you're out there. You see accidents all the time. Most of them, thankfully, are just, you know, fender benders. But some are more severe. But yeah, human error, it's a huge thing. take this for example. I used to get a lot of calls, sort of tech support style calls, still do, from family members and stuff, like, oh, you know, my shit isn't working, blah, blah, blah. Why? It's not my fault. It's the computer's fault. But 9 times out of 10, when a person has like a technical issue, it is user error. It's something they did, some shit they downloaded, or some problem that they have because they don't know how to manipulate something correctly. So human error is a big thing, and it's incredibly common. And so we trust all kinds of important systems to computers already. You know, our entire financial system is tied into
stock market,
artificial technology, whatever, artificial, yeah. I don't want to say artificial intelligence, but yeah, it's tied into technology already to begin with. So if we're willing to trust those huge sectors to technology, it seems kind of weird that we would have this major aversion to technology making its way into vehicles. I would think that the roads would be safer. I mean, planes don't fly themselves anymore.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the only reason why I was inspired to kind of ask this question, have you watched Minority Report? Tom Cruise?
Minority Report is one of those weird movies where I feel like I never saw it, but at the same time, I have like images of the actual movie in my head. So I think it might be one of those things where I either saw it a long time ago and I have a terrible memory, or I've seen parts of it. But I do know the popular scenes or whatever, where you have Tom Cruise, you know, manipulating this giant screen with his hand movements or whatever. Right. Should I keep doing that pretty well.
It was more like anyway. He was like doing patterns with like fingers and stuff like that.
Whatever. Oh, right, in midair, right? Like, yeah. so kind of like drawing these frames frame by frame.
He would do this.
Minority Report. His son is dead.
His son died.
His son is dead. Spoiler alert. Jesus. Yeah. We're talking about a movie from what, 2000? Around 2000. So I don't think you have to say spoiler report after a decade. That's the rule, right?
2002. Yeah. So we're past.
We're past the decade. I think that's the rule. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. We're making it the rule. Here on out on this particular show, we can talk about movies and spoil anything if it happened over a decade ago. Deal? You know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like with songs, when you're making like hip-hop songs, producing hip-hop beats. Like if another song you want to use is old enough, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, like if you want to use some Mozart shit or something, or something that was recorded a certain number of years ago, I don't know, 82 years or something along those lines. I used to do research on this, but if you use something old enough, it will relinquish all of its copyrights, and it becomes, I'm going to forget the legal term, but it basically becomes free to use for anybody. It sort of becomes a piece of culture or whatever.
Does that work with writing as well?
What do you mean writing? Writing what?
I don't know. Maybe like you can extend like a chapter in Shakespeare or something.
I don't know about that. That's interesting. I don't know. A lot of people have reworked Shakespeare, but I don't know. Is Shakespeare copywritten? It must be. I have no idea. I tend to believe that it has had a much smaller impact on writing than on the music world. I mean, for a while when I was growing up, that was like a huge topic of discussion, this idea of sampling music and using stuff that's already been made. And early on, they had no idea how to legislate it, or I don't know if that's the right word, but anyways, litigate it, whatever, if you had a problem with somebody using a piece of your song. And now there is some actual, like, I think, technical guidelines where you have somebody, I don't know if it's a record labels or who, but they dictate how much of a song can be used before it becomes copyright infringement. Like, I don't know what it is, like 3 seconds or something? It's some super short period of time that you're actually free to use something, and then after that, screw it, you've stolen
the music. Yeah, didn't they copyright Happy Birthday? Mm-hmm. Is that how it is now? You can't really sing it online or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Disney it's did? So I don't know. I heard about this. I've never tested that theory. I'm pretty sure that if you had a home movie or something on YouTube and you were singing it, I'm pretty sure that would be fine. I mean, can you imagine Disney has some kind of like takedown notice? That'd be crazy for your family video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are patenting some weird stuff, like that dude Will.i.am.
Yeah, he's into some shit now, man. He's got his own. What is he doing? I don't even know what he's doing now.
He patented the words or the letters I am.
Wow.
And apparently Pharrell got into shit about that.
Because Pharrell
was doing his YouTube channel called I Am Other.
I Am Other, that's right.
And it was just like this weird...
When I saw that channel, I assumed that it was somehow connected. So I guess he's got a point. I mean, I thought, maybe not, I don't know.
It's just weird, like three letters. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same problem that they're having in the software world, you know, where what can you patent and what can't you patent?
Yeah. Like, I mean, can you patent your name?
And yeah, well, isn't it called trademarking if it's a name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's different. I think it's different, but yeah, it's a patenting intellectual property instead of physical things is a really strange space, you know, because you're kind of patenting an intangible thing, and in the world of software, it's a huge issue, right? Because there are sort of fundamental parts of any operating system.
Exactly.
You know, that are shared, like the idea of touch in order to use touch as an interface or, you know, whatever it is you're talking about. There are all kinds of shared things that are imperative to all of these different operating systems in order for them to function. And it really holds back, in my opinion, it holds back innovation for there to be these major barriers and hurdles. Of course, you want to protect intellectual property. If you've got software developers sitting around creating something and they spend, you know, 2 years on something, then you want them to have some control over it and where it goes and where it ends up. But to a certain degree, I think it can damage innovation because the barrier to entry can be too huge. If you have to pay licensing rights on simple things, it becomes that much harder to get involved in that business.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a good or bad thing for mankind in the long term. Mm-hmm. But what you're seeing now is that like a lot of them, they just settle it, like, eventually. I think that there was something going on between, I want to say, Microsoft and Motorola right now, worth about $14 million. Huh. I don't know. I read about something today, but there's something going on all the time in that space. Some huge company suing some other huge company over some amount of money and some dumb thing, like pinch to zoom or whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah. Something that's so obvious, like, pretty, that could be used for anything.
Pretty obvious. You know? Would you ever think that, like, pinching, that you could patent a pinch?
Huh.
Say that. Patent a pinch.
Patent.
10 times fast.
Pinch. No, I
don't
can't say
actually
that.
Do that. No. All right. What else you got for me, Will?
New subject or new conversation? Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. That's very loud.
I don't. It wasn't. I mean, we're still new at this. I think people are gonna let you get away with it.
You're pretty much on YouTube. You live on YouTube, right?
I'm pretty much on YouTube. Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
What are some channels that you follow, man?
Oh, shit. You're going to make me shout some people out now.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, just any.
Oh, you're talking about, like, topics. Know. Topics, things that I'm into?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I watch technology stuff. You know, I mean, it's pretty hard not to when that's the business of your videos for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch a lot of that stuff. I kind of watch a few absurd things, like kind of strange channels.
That's what I like to hear more about. Because I, you know.
Yeah, but you already know probably. You just want to share this. I'm pretty sure anything weird I watch, I probably have already told you about.
Yeah, but the audience.
Doesn't know. You know I'm on that Maximus Thor stuff, right?
Yeah.
That shit is crazy.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome, right? What else do I watch that's weird? I'll tell you, I kind of like, sometimes I like to watch like small time channels that no one else is watching, you know? And I'm sort of loyal to, this is really weird to say, but like when I first got into unboxing videos, right? You know, there were a couple of guys out there that were doing it since YouTube was invented, like since the beginning. Shit videos, like from a production value standpoint, but these guys are kind of like the OGs of the business. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like putting the word on the map. I mean, I want to take some credit for helping that word, you know, progress as it has now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there before I got there. I didn't invent the word. People were doing it, you know, at whatever rate. And it was, of course, you know, before people could make money on YouTube, they were just doing it to share. You know what I mean? So anyways, there's a couple of guys that I follow who have been doing it since the beginning. And, you know, I don't know why. They don't really hardly ever upload. But I watch that shit anyways just because I almost feel like a sense of, like, I owe it to them or something. I don't know. You know, like,
because they took the time and they took the risk to do it.
I don't know how much risk there was.
Yeah,
you know, but they had a part.
They had an investment in that. You know,
anybody who made an unboxing video before I got started on this, I feel like I owe something to, because I mean, it's a part of the name now. It's a part of the concept. And so if you're out there, if you're watching this right now and you made an unboxing video before my very first one, I'm talking to you. And there's a lot of people out there that did that. And of course, it's not a business for them. It was just like a kind of a thing. And as much as the production value wasn't fantastic, like I said before, it was important, I guess, at the time. It was part of the progression. You know, the first airplane wasn't the greatest.
No,
it wasn't. You ever seen that clip with the guys on the hill there, the Wright brothers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a shoddy friggin' attempt. I mean, really.
Yeah. But they did it.
They did it, man.
It was great.
They did it. And I guess that's what I'm saying. Is some dude, you know what it's like? You know what's weird is you always hear reference, like when they invented the camera, the very first thing that they shot was porn. Have you heard that before?
No.
Okay, yeah. Like apparently the very first recording of any kind of moving pictures was porn. And like, I think the reason that they think that something like that might occur is because people are looking for something worthwhile, something to film that's worthwhile. And since it was a new innovation, they're like, I don't know. You know, this would be interesting. People might want to watch this kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think at some point, some dude somewhere with a camcorder decided that when he bought something and brought it home, that he was going to film himself opening it up. Like, that's pretty fucked up when you think about it. Yeah. The first person to do that. I mean, hey, do you ever wonder what the very first unboxing video was?
Yeah, I mean,
what the fuck was it?
It's just a weird concept, right?
It's a weird concept that you don't, if it wasn't already here, you really would wonder how it started.
And I think that, you know, video TV, like, really put a concept or a mentality in our minds, because, like, we've always had segments, you know? It's just like a segment of cartoon shows and then commercial.
Right.
Segment.
Right, commercial. Right. I got you.
And it's always kind of that thing, you know? But seeing it, you know, on YouTube where it's just different timings and different concepts and different stuff.
Right. Everything is kind of all over the place. There's no rules.
You have
really
the freedom to watch whatever you
want.
Right.
And the freedom to create whatever you want and upload whatever you want. Yeah. And that has been a very creative process, obviously, because people came up with things that nobody ever imagined somebody would want to watch.
Exactly.
You know, even to this day, like, don't get me wrong, but most people know what an unboxing video is. I mean, I've been in conversations where I'm talking to a person and I don't expect them to know what an unboxing video is, and then it turns out that they do, that they've heard of that before. Nonetheless, as a concept, something very new, very unusual, and it only exists because of the platform that YouTube put forward. I think most people agree that that unboxing as a concept started when YouTube started. I think most people agree upon that. And now I feel like I need to go on a hunt to try and figure out what the first unboxing video was, because I don't know, that was like ground zero for this entire concept. I think that's interesting.
Can pay homage to the guy.
I mean, and it's not just unboxing videos. I guess you could do the same with any kind or type of video. You could look for the first vlog, you could look for the first makeup video, the first fingernail painting video, the first, what other kinds of videos do people make?
Because all that stuff,
music, like, I mean, you could find the first of anything.
Yeah, that wasn't on TV.
No, you're right. I mean? You're right. But you're right, man. I guess it goes for everything. It's not exclusive to unboxing. It's all of these things that people do in regular life that they are now sharing online. And it's pretty much endless. If you can do it in real life, chances are it's been done online now, you know, because the equipment necessary to get something online, it keeps getting cheaper and cheaper and better, man. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody, I don't remember who, just about HD cameras. HD friggin' cameras. Like, that shit is just taken for granted. I mean, we got three of them around here filming us right now. They were $300 each, I think. $400 each. $300 or $400, I don't know. They're cheap Canon camcorders feeding into our switcher. They're perfect for this function here. But I remember as a kid, the kind of cameras that I had to use, even, you know, later in life when I decided I wanted to make films and all that shit, and I spent $5,000 on a DV camera that was SD, standard definition. I would have died for HD. HD was a crazy thing to think about back then. TVs didn't do it. You know, so yeah, I mean, this shit has come down so much now. There's really very few excuses for people making shit content now. I mean, not that I'm saying that people's content is shit, but yes, I am. No, I'm just kidding. But basically, it's not the equipment's fault at this point. You can get stuff now that would have blown my mind when I was 12 or 13 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the advantage that youngsters have today that I didn't have. Is like, if you were to tell somebody now that you want to go out and make films, you want to go out and make videos, you could get up and running for very little money, get a DSLR, get moving on it, learn about things, interchangeable lenses, so on and so forth. And people might believe you. Be like, look at this business on YouTube. People are making money. People are doing this shit professionally. You could, you know, justify it. But back when I was coming up, man, and I sound like I'm 80 years old right now. I'm not that old. That's just how young YouTube is. Sure. There was nowhere to go. You wanted to be a filmmaker. Who the fuck are you? Who do you know? Where are you going to send this goddamn thing that you've made? I mean, YouTube is what, 2006? You know, before that, what do you do with this video clip that's sitting edited on your computer? What do you do with it, man? What do you do with it?
I don't know.
You show your friends? You do nothing. You show your mom. And she says, oh, that's so fantastic. You're so talented. And you say, okay.
And then you're done.
And then it's over. It was like this really weird experiment that you had. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I can. I remember getting hired as a kid to go and shoot hockey games. Like to go, for those of you that don't know what hockey is, it's a game you play on ice with sticks and skates and stuff.
It's a Canada thing.
Yeah, okay. You probably haven't heard of it, but no, but I remember somebody hiring me to do that, and I went and I set up tripods, and I had all this equipment, and you know what you got out of it was terrible. It was this really crappy recording and all the rest, but that's what you could do at the time, and all they wanted to do was just watch replays of the games, and you know the coaches wanted to see it and stuff like that. But like that, you had no idea where to go to get people to watch your stuff. If that was your goal, you had no idea where to go. Mm-hmm. It's easier now, man. If you like, this is the best time to be in creative anything because there is no friction. There is nobody, there's no middleman. There's nobody between you and the audience. The only thing holding you back is yourself.
Right, yeah, there's no limitations unless you want to, you know, produce animal porn or something on YouTube.
Whoa.
You'll quickly
Jesus, where's this flagged. Podcast going right now, man? What the fuck are you trying to do right now, man?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
were you just waiting this whole time to try and get something in about animal porn?
Exactly.
Is that okay?
That's exactly.
All right. Well, at least you're being honest about it.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about any of these Apple leaks or anything like that? Is that in your chart anywhere there?
Well, we watched. Did you watch the Samsung Gear?
I saw some about the Gear. Yeah. You know what? I want to talk about the Gear.
What do you think about it?
That's a terrible name, right? Yeah. Okay, the Galaxy Gear. What do you mean? The Gear is this word that, my gear is the stuff I have. It's everything. It's an all-encompassing term. You can't call one thing gear. Like, gear is all that. Gear is all that.
Yeah.
It's all part of my gear.
Yes.
That's like, it's like a plural.
Yes.
You can't call a watch gear. I don't know. It's a terrible name. It might be lost in translation. I don't know. But anyways, the name is not really the huge problem. The huge problem from my perspective, and you know, maybe this is not everyone's perspective, but this idea of these walled garden type of ecosystems where you have, you know, you need to have a Samsung phone, not even a Samsung phone. Right now it's an S, or no, not even an S4. You need to have the new Note 3. Very soon, the S4, and then a software update coming later for S3 owners to use this thing. It's like, whoa, man, like that's not the right kind of implementation. It's so anti-Android. Mm-hmm. Like you think about Android in your head and the value proposition of Android. It's this idea that you're going to make it your own, man. It's this idea that like there aren't these walls or barriers that any manufacturer can jump in, that any, you know, you can pair different kinds of devices, and it should be this world of innovation. But now you have Samsung trying to be more like Apple and saying, here's this Gear watch thing, okay? This monstrosity, first of all. But that's not even the biggest problem for me. The biggest problem is that they're trying to be like Apple and they say, you need to have this phone to use the damn thing. And it's like, stop trying to pretend like you have your own goddamn operating system and start behaving like the leader of the Android marketplace. You know, Android wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for Samsung, and Samsung wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for Android. Like, like, what's with this all this fucking playing around, trying to pretend that it's something else? It's not something else. You know, they need one another, and they need to behave that way. Sony put out a smartwatch at IFA along with Samsung, and that thing is not as cool. Fine, I don't care. But it can work with any Android device. You know the camera things that Sony put out? The QX100 and the QX10. Did you see anything about that?
I read up on it, but not a lot.
Okay, well, anyways, that shit is dope, first of all. Okay, maybe not for everybody. That's fine. I can understand that it's not right for everyone. Some people, they say, why wouldn't I get a standalone camera? Well, I have a lot of cameras already, okay? And what happens is I do a lot of sharing. I'm on social media all the time. So this idea of being able to connect via Wi-Fi, this dope-ass camera, it's basically an RX100 inside of this lens-type deal. The idea that I can snap a photo and instantaneously have it in my device so I can share it, that's a huge value proposition for somebody who shares photos all day. Huge. Mm-hmm. And so far, every other kind of smart implementation has been a disaster that I've tried. Not, I mean, maybe a disaster is an overstatement, but they haven't been that fun. And really what you want is you do want a modular system where you can bring an object in and have it interface with your current device. That's the way things should be. So why is it that Sony has a different play than Samsung? Well, obviously because Samsung is dominating this friggin' marketplace, mm-hmm. and with power comes that, what do you want to call it? You know, they say like these guys get drunk with power. You ever heard of that statement before? Like, yes. a dictator in a country, you know how he gets drunk with power and he starts doing some wacky ass shit? Because he just has so much authority. That's Samsung in the smartphone game right now, especially in the Android game. They're drunk with it, man. They are drunk with it. And I'll tell you something. I pick up an S4 right now as it stands today, and I think that device could be so much better if Samsung just pulled back a little bit and just got closer to that stock experience. Of course, you can buy the S4 with the stock experience. The Play Store, yeah. You want to know something? That's a good question. That is a question right there. If I get the Galaxy Gear and I get the stock version of the S4, is it still compatible? I wonder. I would guess no. Mm-hmm. Because it probably requires all that janky software stuff going on in the background in order for it to operate. You know, but whatever. I'm going off on Samsung right now when I probably should be going off about this watch concept in general. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the bigger discussion because it's hot. It's a hot topic right now. Right? You've got
smartwatches.
Yeah, you got, you know, Apple's supposed to make a play in the space. It's like, well, let me ask you, where's the value proposition? Are you just, you know, waiting for this watch to hit? Like, is this a big deal for you?
I don't really care much about watches.
Right, you're not, honest.
Like,
you're not,
just in general, I've never been a watch guy.
Right. Okay.
And just adding all these implementations into it, I like the pedometer. You know,
yeah, but you can have it or in a little device that you charge once every 2 weeks.
Exactly. I don't really need to look at a watch like on my wrist. Everything's on my phone. You know, I think that's
right. And you can send a message back and all the rest of it. Yeah.
I just think it's sort of ridiculous, at least right now. I sort of know where
the value proposition is not big enough. That's the thing, is you're talking about a $300 device, and meanwhile, you have competitive smartphones on the market for less than that, right? How much is a Nexus 4 right now? $300?
No, it's actually $200.
Whatever it is. Or you go into your carrier and you could get any phone subsidized down to $200. So now you're buying this attachment device that costs more than the device it needs to connect to in order to operate. I mean, there are huge issues here in that particular marketplace. Now, granted, listen, I'm into technology. Anytime I see progression in a specific segment, I think that's good because it's going to push innovation. People are going to say, we need to make something better in that space, so on and so forth. So I don't like to hate on technology very often. You know, I usually have a more optimistic viewpoint because it's like, okay, Samsung has now made this Galaxy Gear, so other players are now going to react. And maybe they're going to figure something out that Samsung didn't figure out because of that play that Samsung made. And maybe these watches will do something that will, you know, it'd be like that. We'll go, oh, I get it now. That's why we need a smartwatch. That's why we need something on our wrist that does some cool stuff.
Which is so exciting for
right?
For
because
us,
think about the like first...
In terms of Apple's...
Apple's smartwatch?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be the ones to crack it?
I hope so.
Are you a fanboy?
I really do hope
so. Are you a fanboy? Are you like,
you know,
you may never have to get on this podcast again. You know, you're just going to be written off as a fanboy.
You know what would really wow me? If Apple made a smartwatch.
I know what would really wow you.
What would that be?
You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. I want holograms.
I was thinking animal porn.
No, not animal porn.
No, I'm just kidding. No, holograms. Holograms. Porn.
That would be
No. Just okay. Holograms in general?
Yeah. Something that just blows people away.
No, I know. It would be cool. Listen, when that first iPhone launched, nobody can take anything away from that. When that happened, when Jobs put that thing out, and this is kind of the tragedy of all these Jobs movies that are coming out, is they always stop right at that point. They stop at the point where the iPod was launched. But for me, this is going to be a tough and controversial thing to say, but for me, the top moment in Apple history, wow, this is a big statement right now. Look what I'm about to do, man.
You're on the record.
I might even go one step further. Fuck, maybe it's this Facts Tall Can that's making me speak this way. I don't want to say anything too definitive. But that moment when they launched that iPhone, and it was a computer in your pocket. That was some shit, man. That was some undisputable shit. And listen, I'm one of those kids that had those dumbass smartphones before that. I had that Windows Mobile shit.
So this was like your holy grail?
I don't know, man. Why is it that Apple sits around and think so hard about that user experience? Why is it that even when they launched that first piece of shit with very little processing power, etc., why was it a smooth experience even at that point? I mean, you look back now, I mean, it's pretty crazy. Either that or, you know, maybe we were really sensitive at the time and we were like, this is so cool, I'll put up with it. But I don't remember my 3G being laggy, at least not in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that shit being smooth. Camera sucked. All this shit sucks by today's standards. But at the time, it was like, wow, this thing is doing its thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Fresh out of the box. It was
fresh
like
out of
so
the box,
smooth.
You know? And it's really amazing that their first iteration of that device, the first, you know, group of people to put out a touch interface, multimedia device that's a phone. Obviously they weren't the very first, but I mean, mass market type, wide adoption type device, that it could have been the experience it was. There's supposed to be growing pains when you're creating an entire new form factor. You know, this is a company who never made a phone before. And now it's like the standard in terms of market share. Of course, that's not going to last very long. Everyone knows now that, you know, Android is going to swallow things whole, right? Android's a beast now.
Yeah.
You can't fuck with Android. You know, that's the bottom line. It's a little bit upsetting, you know. That's not upsetting. I don't want to use that word, but it's just I remember that moment when that first iPhone launched. I think it's had a huge impact on where things have gone. And I'm not saying that everything Android has done is a copy or anything like that, but it set the precedent. It was like, this is what a mobile experience in your pocket should be, and everybody played off that, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's fine with me. That's fine with me. You look at. Why is it in technology that we get all sensitive and shit and go, no, you didn't fucking innovate that. You did, or this company did, or that one. You know, and meanwhile, in music, it's like, yeah, these guys were inspired by that band. Who gives a shit? Who fucking gives a shit? Great things require inspiration. You know, everything's been done before.
Exactly. No, like, especially in art, you know, nothing's really original anymore.
You're trying to give yourself a plug right now? Is that what this is?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
We'll do art.com.
But yeah, I mean, it's...
Everything's inspired by everything, you know, and nothing's original and nothing will be original.
I think your life will be shit as long as you go around as fucking Inspector Gadget. Okay, trying to pretend that, you know where everything came from, every original idea in tech, you know the first company to innovate there, and all this shit. If you go around policing this space, you're doing it wrong. Because if you're a fan of tech, you need to be a fan of innovation in general. You need to applaud anybody making moves that you didn't see before, even when those moves are failed, even when those companies go out of business. Like, everybody's talking shit about BlackBerry right now, right?
Yeah.
Who isn't talking shit about BlackBerry right now?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And yet, this is a company who once again took steps to completely change the game, right? And up until recently, they were the standard up until, of course, that moment when that new iPhone launched. As a communicator, I mean, the BlackBerry is still a fantastic device. As a communicator, where they lost this battle, how the fuck did I get to BlackBerry based on where we started? I don't know. But anyways, as a communication device, the BlackBerry is still solid. Where they lost this war is on consumer stuff. It's on multimedia. It's on apps. It's on social. It's on all these other things that people ended up doing with their phones besides communication, besides picking it up and calling somebody or sending a message or an email. It's all these other things. I mean, you go into the store, all right, and the last thing you want to hear is that your phone isn't going to run X app, that your phone isn't going to run Instagram. Jesus Christ, I was there. I was there at Young and College at the Z10 launch, okay? And when they did their presentation, it was like, eventually we're going to have Instagram. Eventually we're going to have Skype. You can't do it, man. You cannot do it. What is worse than somebody saying, oh, I'm going to hit you up on Skype, and you go, sorry, dude. Can't do it for you, man. I mean, what is worse than that? You sound like a loser. You can't have that moment ever. You sound like some old school dude who doesn't have your shit together. Sorry, I can't Skype. Yo, why don't you follow me on Instagram, man? Oh, sorry, man. And Windows Phone is the same shit. Unless that shit gets sorted out, it's going to continue to be a problem for them as well. And it's going to be really hard for them. Because you can never have that moment. And you want to know when that moment never happens? To iPhone users. iPhone users never have that moment. Even when apps come out and launch and they're on no other platform. Remember when Vine came out? Where did it launch first? It's a Twitter product, for God's sakes. It launches on iPhone first. Most of these apps that hit mass market, even Google apps, YouTube, the YouTube app, it launches when they make updates or whatever. It happens on iOS the exact same moment it happens on Android, because market share determines where developers are going to pay attention, where and when. So these guys that are you know, falling behind, these Windows phones, these Blackberries, whatever, they need to take some of that R&D money, okay, and just develop the goddamn apps. They need to make a flow chart or whatever on the wall and say, these are the hot apps right now. People need Instagram. People need YouTube. People need blah, 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 blah. Top 10 goddamn places people visit. If they're not going to make it for us, we have to make it or we lose. It doesn't matter what kind of camera we have. It doesn't matter what kind of keyboard we have, screen, any of that bullshit. It will not matter if a person has that one moment where somebody looks at them sideways with prejudice and says, you are a second-class citizen because you can't get Instagram even if you wanted it. You know that kind of fucking look when a person pulls out a BlackBerry and everybody's kind of like, you know, that snickering, that bullshit? You've seen it. We talked about this the very first time when I was interviewing you to even be on this shit, right? We talked about that. You know, like how that idea that like our perception of people is influenced by the devices they use, like fashion. I mean, it's nuts. When a person pulls out a device, we feel like we know something about them. Like what kind of a person they are.
You're sort of making a statement in a way, you know? I mean, by the phone that you rock.
The marketing people will tell you there's an iPhone kind of person, there's an Android kind of person. And I bet you some people out in the audience, they think of themselves as one or the other. Tell me right now in the comments. Tell me right now, are you an Android person or an iPhone person? And you know that in your mind, you picture a different person for each of those two. There's a different image that you associate with each of those two. Some of it has to do with marketing, but some of it has to do with the way that those ecosystems have evolved as well. Some people are super attached to iOS, to Apple. Super proud. Like they will not flex. You could be like, wait a minute, this shit is good, man. You could show them a beautiful Android experience on a nice big screen and everything. They'll be like, nah, you know, I'm with Apple, man. Leave me alone. You know, I'm going to stay with Apple. They'll be like that. Android people are the same way. You know, and people want to be in a camp. They want to be in a camp. They want to be part of a team. You know, the wolf pack mentality. And, you know, the truth of it out here is that it's really weird. It's really weird to be that loyal to an inanimate thing like a brand. You know, be loyal to people. Don't be loyal to objects. That's crazy talk. That's you looking for an identity. You should be willing to change at any time. Anytime. In fact, you should be like me and like use a different phone every single day. I'm just joking. I'm just being an asshole. I'm just joking. But no, in reality, try as much stuff as you can. Look at everything as an opportunity, and who gives a fuck what people say? You know?
Be open-minded.
Be open-minded in general, not just with tech. Mm-hmm. In general, man, try stuff. Try it out. Inform your own opinion. Don't just take what other people say, myself included, Will Do included, Kirk included. Don't take what anybody says and take it to be gospel. Don't do that. That's just a bad way to live. So don't come around here on the YouTubes, search up a review, and go, I'm done. I'm buying it. Screw you. No, go try it, man. Or watch a few different things. Slow down. Slow down. Have fun with this shit. It's all good. All innovation in this space builds a better future for us, hopefully. Unless that nuclear leak in Japan ends us first.
Yeah, that's
a I don't really want to talk about that. That's bad news. No, I mean, it is what it is, right?
That's pretty awful. Yeah.
Anyway, dude, I don't know. I feel like I ranted. What's our time, Kirk? 55 minutes. Jesus. All right. That's almost an hour. I mean, that's the thing then. We did it.
An hour.
We did an hour, man. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. We did it. So there it is, folks. We can't reach it, actually. No. Cheers. There it is, folks. That's the first episode. Well, I don't even know what we're calling it. I don't know which channel we're uploading it to. We don't have a strategy yet. Give us your opinions down in the comments. Tell us what you want to see, what changes you want to make, all that kind of stuff. As I said before, we want to hear it. We really do appreciate it. And I'm being optimistic about this. What about you, Will? Do you got anything to say?
I'm sick. So
you're good. Done.
Yeah.
You got no no outro because you're sick. I respect that. Yeah. That's fine. I'm fine with that. All right, guys. So that wraps this up. If you enjoyed it, leave a thumbs up. If you want to see more, leave a thumbs up or just say you want to see more. And I guess we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Hopefully, if this goes well, the next episode we're going to do it live so you can actually participate on some level. But this is good. I think it's good. I think we're sort of on the right track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I wasn't sick, I'd probably be talking a bit more.
Okay, yeah. Instead of coughing my lungs. I know. So before you guys go in the comments and go, Lou, shut up and let Will talk, he told me before we started to carry this thing because he's not feeling well. Yeah. Don't laugh. That's true, no, man.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. He's only laughing because it sounds, he's actually not that sick in retrospect. But anyways, he was feeling a little bit under the weather, so that's the way it went this time. Next time, Will Do's going to be all over this shit.
I'll bring the heat.
He's bringing the heat.
It's not going to be a fever.
No, not a, there you go. Oh, you use. I knew you were going to use that damn joke, man. Anyways, okay, so that wraps this up. Big thanks to Will Do. Big thanks to Kirk Cutts over on the Switcher. You can talk to Kirk at Kirk Cutts on Twitter. You can talk to Will Do at Will Do _ on Twitter. And you can talk to me in the places you normally talk to me. Unbox Therapy. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to me at Unbox Therapy. All right, guys. Been a blast. Thanks for watching. Love you all. Catch you on the next episode.
Peace.